Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we sing this song and our mind and our hearts immediately begin to focus on things that are not of this world, that are of your heavenly throne room, where night and day and for all eternity, those that are gathered around your throne sing and exclaim and praise, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And words such as, "You are worthy, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things." And we have images of the lamb that was slain and the scrolls that are being opened. And Father, we have this image from your word, from Revelation, that reminds us of what is to come in a not too far off time. We're all creation gathers around your throne and acknowledges you as the only Lord, and worships the Lamb that was slain, worships Jesus and his sacrifice. And God, while we have those images, we also recognize that in this worship, we are declaring loudly the glory of you, the glory of your Son, and the power and the might of salvation that takes place. God, I pray that as we think about these words and we think about the song that we just sung, that we would truly hold on to these images and this mindset, because Father, we hear these words and we sing that song and we are overwhelmed with the victory that is won by your Son Jesus. And we know that he is the only one who is worthy. He is the only one that is capable. He is the only one that is worthy to receive this praise and glory. And so God, we're overwhelmed by that a little bit. I hope that we are. I know that I am. And thinking about all this, there's a part of me that can't wait. Can't wait for that to come true, for that to take place, because we know that it is your promise, we know that it is your word, and we trust that when the time is right, when all things are said and done, those that are in you and in your Son, those that have placed their faith, will get to experience that, God. What a joyous day that will be. What a beautiful day that will be. And God, we realize that in the between time, we're not there yet, but we can still sing about it. We can still think about it, and we can still focus in on it. But in the meantime, will you give us the courage and the strength that we need to endure the days that are before us? When things that are difficult that are coming up, when things that are hard that overwhelm us, God, will you provide the strength and the wisdom that we need? Will you also just give us the courage to live out loud the faith that you have instilled in us? You have shown your hand to be powerful and firm. You have shown your hand to be gentle and loving and have drawn us to you. And God, I pray that we would not just live aimlessly, but that we would live on purpose for your glory and for your kingdom to be established. I pray that we would have the courage to bear fruit according to Galatians chapter 5, that is so powerful for our lives to be focused in on you so much that your work and your transformation of our lives begins to take evident steps in us, that we begin to look less like ourselves and more like you, more like your son Jesus, who is the very embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit. God, will you do that in us? Will you help and increase our love, our joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? Besides, we know that only through your power those things become real. God, will you also help us to endure? We have things going on in our lives that are beating us down and holding us back, and will you help us endure? Will you give us strength for today, and tomorrow will you give us more? God, we believe that through your power, there's something that we can't even imagine that you want to do. And so, God, will you do that in each of us for your glory and for your kingdom? We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all here today. I tell you what, it is just good to be not only in the house of the Lord, but to be in worship. Because when we are together and we're worshiping together, we are experiencing God's goodness in the midst of a crazy and chaotic world, right? And we get to experience God's goodness in the midst of everything. And I'm just so excited and ecstatic to worship with you. And I know that we are a bit of a culture that is a little bit subdued, and maybe we don't always clap and things like that. I can't clap and sing at the same time. But we attempt and we try all the time, and let's keep on trying, because it is good for us to just be joyful in our worship. And I'm just talking now. We'll stop. But anyways, welcome. We're glad that you're here today. I have a slide up here that is about our socials. Just a reminder about that. Let's go to that next slide. There we go. Just a reminder that we are on a variety of our social networks, and we have made a decision to pull the plug on one of those. And that's mostly because a lot of people don't use X, or formerly known as Twitter. So we're pulling the plug on that one. So if you have utilized that for anything, you've been missing a lot of nothing, because we haven't put out anything on there for a long time. So you can just delete our follow from that. But all the others, we're a little bit more active and doing different things on there, and that's a great way for you to see those things. YouTube is utilized weekly, because we are streaming to YouTube and to Facebook, and so you can always catch messages on that as well. A couple of announcements that I want to just share with you. First of all, next week we are going to be honoring our graduates with some recognition on next Sunday, and we're also going to recognize them with cake, because that's what we like to do. So after service next Sunday, we're going to have some cake, and you can talk to those that are graduating and congratulate them and just encourage them. Also, next Sunday, we are doing our local church conference. It is our practice to have the local church conference on Sundays, and that's kind of our business meeting, also just reports from the church and things of that nature, so that you kind of are aware of what's going on this last year. So we're going to be doing that. And what we would like you to do is that if you are a member, it is expected that you're going to be present, and we hope that you will be. But if you are not a member and you want to stick around, feel free to. That would be great. Something that is going to be happening is that we will be having lunch for those that are sticking around. So if you are unable to stick around, that's fine. Go on home and enjoy your afternoon. But I'm not saying that you should, though. I think that you should stay, because it's an important meeting. But for those that do stick around, we're going to serve you lunch at about 11:30, and then we'll continue on for the rest of the day. But just so you are aware, you won't go hungry. We will make sure that you are fed. But if you're not planning on sticking around for the meeting, politely, lunch is not for you. That's my best way of saying it. So here's something that I really want to share with you that is really important, and I hope that you catch it. But here we are going to be doing something this summer that we've never done before, and I am looking really forward to it because I realize that a church our size, you can take that in many different ways, you might not know everybody that's in the room. And you might not have had a conversation with people in the room. Well, we're going to do our best to help you get to know other people this summer. So we are doing what is called a 3x3 gatherings this summer. And you can sign up to be a part of it beginning next week. But here's how it's going to work. If you are interested, and this is for single people, families, couples, however it works, and you will participate however you would like to. But basically, we're going to have a, for everyone that is interested, you sign up, and then towards the end of the month of May, we will have a drawing, a random drawing, and you may be partnered up with two other family groups. And then throughout the summer, June, July, and August, you take three opportunities to spend time with the two other groups or family groups that are connected. And that's that. So if you're interested, sign up in the next couple of weeks. More information will be coming, but that's the basics of what we're hoping to do. And we're hoping to start this in the month of June, and you just get together with two other groups, families, and you will spend one time a month, June, one time in June, one time in July, and one time in August, where the three family groups come together of your choice, whatever you want to do, and you just enjoy time with one another. And it's all random. So I'm not going to be pairing up certain families together. It's all a luck of the draw, just so you're aware. But anyways, more information will be coming, and I'm excited about it because it's always good for us to get to know other people, and I hope that you participate. I hope that you're a part of it, and I'm sure it'll be fun, and I'm looking forward to the stories that will be shared when June, July, and August are finished. As always, if you have questions, feel free to ask. I will answer those, or I will send you to somebody else that might know it better than I do, whoever that might be. Anyways, kids, we're going to dismiss you for Children's Church today. So kids ages 4 to 5th grade, you're dismissed to meet your leaders and to go for Children's Church today. The family that I grew up with, mom, dad, and my two brothers, we have a story that we like to share because it's up until about 6 months ago, this story, we never knew who did what. And I'm straight honest with you. We always share the story and we always kind of get into a loving argument, my brothers and I. But here's the story, okay? My brothers and I, we grew up baseball players and we played a lot of baseball. So we played catch all the time with each other, with our dad, with our friends. And we also had a lot of rocks in our driveway. We had a long driveway. And so we would pick up various rocks and we would throw them as far as we could. We would throw them at things. We just threw rocks. I don't know if you grew up that way where you just threw rocks, but we did. And for the longest time, we had a fence in our backyard separating our property from our neighbor that had three rungs, I guess, one low, one medium, one high. And we had a competition all the time on who could hit the different rungs first. I didn't win very often. I was the little brother, and they were much better at this than I was. But every now and then, I could hit one of them and things like that. Well, one time, and this was not the first time that we were playing in the driveway with one of the cars nearby, and we were just throwing rocks, and mom and dad would say, be careful, and we'd say, oh, yeah, absolutely, we're going to be careful, and things like that. So we're playing, throwing, and at one point in time, we decided we're going to throw it over the fence as far as we possibly could. And sure enough, we're all three throwing rocks. And sure enough, one of us hits the back of the Blazer windshield and it goes, shatters. And the three boys took off in three different directions. One went that direction. One went that direction. The one that went that direction went the furthest because they went into the cornfield that you had to go over a fence and down a ditch and over into the cornfield and took off. And that person had asthma and that wasn't a good spot for them to be. The other one went to another field and he has hay fever. And so he just was, they were both miserable. And I did this. And then turned around and ran and hid behind something. My dad saw the entire thing happen. But it wasn't until about 6 months ago that the oldest brother admitted that he's the one who threw the rock that broke it. And for years, we have been fighting, lovingly, about who threw the rock. They have blamed me. They have blamed the middle brother. We have blamed the older brother. And none of us fessed up to it in 40 years. Finally. And what's hilarious about it is that mom and dad didn't get mad. We thought for sure we were going to be grounded for the rest of our lives, as you can tell by us going in three different directions. But things happen, don't they? Broken things happen. Maybe you have a story from your childhood of breaking a vase or a pot or a pot. Pottery, I guess. You have broken things in your family's story. Might be dishes, might be glasses. We have a lot of stories of brokenness. I learned one time that it's best not to have something that is hot and then put something that's cold in it, because I was working as a server at Outback Steakhouse when I was in college, and the mugs that we served water out of were glass. They've kind of gone away from that in a lot of restaurants nowadays. I know why, because if they're fresh out of the dishwasher and you put ice cold water in that, you get really wet. And that's what happened to me. I'm carrying these three or four mugs, and all of a sudden the bottom just dropped right out, and I got every person at the table soaked. I learned my lesson. Broken things happen. Things happen in our lives where we break things. Do you have a story such as that? And to be quite honest, our lives, even though we have broken things in our lives, sometimes we experience brokenness as well, where there are circumstances and situations in our lives where things happen to us and we become a little bit broken. We become a little bit hurt. We become broken, like broken pieces of pottery, broken pieces of glass, shattered back windows, or shattered mugs. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians, the church, about his situation in Asia, and he wanted to remind the church that there's things that are going on in life that are beyond their control, that are difficult, that are heavy, that are hard. And I want to just read this to you, and then we're going to talk some more about what's going on. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, Paul says this. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure." Do you ever feel great pressure? "Far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life." Do you ever feel and a despairing moment in life? Indeed, in our hearts, we felt that sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by our prayers, by your prayers. Paul's situation sounds somewhat familiar, doesn't it? Because we can identify with what Paul is writing here, because we can kind of feel some hopelessness. Paul is writing in a situation that feels and felt very hopeless. And maybe you have come across a situation currently or previously or maybe a long time ago that just felt very, very hopeless. But did you catch what Paul says in the passage that is so important for us today? He says, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but God. This happened so that we might not rely upon ourselves, but God. And the truth of the matter is, Paul has a great perspective, but I don't think that we always have that same perspective as Paul. Because maybe not. Maybe you're kind of like, no, I always rely on God. But let's be, if we're honest with ourselves, many times when we have situations that are difficult and hard, what do we typically do? We pull up our boots by our own bootstraps and we start going to work and we do our job and we take care of things and we just grunt through it and we try to fight through it on our own. Maybe it's me, I don't know. But what if our perspective was, you know what, this is happening. This situation is going on in my life, and instead of me trying to explain it away, maybe I should just trust in God and be patient with what he wants to do in my life. Because I think that if we can rely upon him first, I think God's perspective will begin to help us. Now, let's be really honest. Sometimes we do need to talk to other people. Sometimes we do need to hear an outside perspective. But what if that was the second thing we did and the first thing was to go to God first? A number of years ago, I wrote a book. Yes, I did. You didn't know that. I read a book. It's called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. And it was written by Lisa Turkhurst, and she has a number of really good reminders in here, and I want to just share a few of these with you, because when life happens in ways that we don't expect, sometimes we need a good reminder of what to do when it's not supposed to be this way. She wrote that God doesn't expect us to handle this, but he wants us to hand this over to him. I'm going to let that sit for just a moment, because many times that's the opposite of what we want to do. We want to take that situation and we want to handle it. We want to massage it. We want to work it out and we want to figure it out. And sometimes we might just need to say, Lord, this is a crumpled up mess of me. There you go. God doesn't expect us to handle it, but he wants us to hand it over to him. He doesn't want us to rally more of our own strength. He wants us to rely solely on his strength. I've already said it a couple of times, but what if that was the second or last thing that we did when we handled these things on our own? The last quote from Lisa is this: sure, this current situation is adding more brokenness, but even this could be used for my good. Brokenness for good. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. If you're looking for a verse to kind of hold on to in difficult times, this would be one of those. This would be one of those verses that you would probably want to recall when difficult things happen in your life. Now, my question as I read this verse, and I believe, yep, it's on the screen behind me. As you hear this verse and as you think about it, as you read it, as you process it, as you understand it, how does it strike you today? Do you kind of feel like I resonate with what Paul is saying right there? Or maybe you're thinking, you know what, years ago I resonated with that verse, but right now things are kind of smooth sailing and it's okay. It's good. Where do you find yourself at? Have you had the wind of your sails knocked out from under you? Have you had such things going on in life? And I know because you share things with me. You ask for prayer. You tell me stories. You share with me difficulties that are going on in life. And I'm so thankful that you trust me enough to share things with. I know that there's difficulty in life. I know there's hurt. I know there's hangups. I know there's brokenness. I know there is things going on in life. I've cried with many of you. Maybe not in person, but on my own, when God and his emotions that he gives resonate in my soul. But I know that a verse like this reminds us that there is difficulty in life. And when there's difficulty, we can carry on. We may not be broken down to the point of destruction, but we feel pressed. We feel hurt. We feel perplexed. We might feel all of these things in different ways. Pressed in on every side, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Wherever you might be at this morning, these verses might really strike you in a different way. Because of news in your life, you might feel this pressure being pressed in on every side. Because of difficulties going on, you might feel perplexed, uncertain about what to do next, persecuted in the sense that you feel bombarded from every side and you just are feeling all of that, struck down. Almost as if your legs have been cut out right from underneath you. Truth of the matter is that it's brokenness. One of the craziest things that we hear in, and I shouldn't say craziest, but one of the things that people often think about Christianity, following Jesus, being a Christian, is that life is going to be easy. And it's not. We know that full well, don't we? It's a lie that the world wants to say, that if you follow Jesus, everything's going to be perfect. But we experience difficulty in so many different ways. We could share stories around the campfire for hours on difficulties that we experience. Some of you this week probably experienced some difficulty. Paul reminds us that we have this treasure in jars of clay. In some ways, you and I are like jars of clay that are very fragile, yet capable of doing what we were designed and created for. Fragile. Absolutely. You and I are fragile. But we were designed to do something like a pitcher that is designed to pour water. We are designed to carry the message of God with us wherever we go and to pour it out into other people's lives. But the fragileness and the brokenness of the world comes at us in different ways. Lisa Turkhurst says some other things about some important things when it comes to pottery that that I didn't know until I read this book. But she says a potter is a person who makes clay and takes clay and begins to make a vessel of sorts. They will sometimes take an element that is called grog and they add it to the clay before making the vessel. Now, of course, you knew this already, that grog, right? You knew what grog is when I said it, but it is a dust that is taken from broken pieces of pottery, and it is shattered, and it is ground, and it is put into the clay. It is mixed in. If it's too fine, it doesn't actually do anything to the vessel. If it's too coarse, like if it's too jagged and too big, it will actually hurt the potter as they're working the clay. So the dust is broken, or the pot is broken, and then it's turned into a dust, and it's put just right, added just right to the clay in order for it to do what it's supposed to do. And if it's just right, the results are amazing. It enables the potter to form the clay into a larger and stronger vessel. It can go into the fire of the kiln and experience a hotter heat than other vessels. And when glazed, the pieces end up far more beautiful and artistic. The grog. Broken pieces, such as this, that have been then ground and been mixed in. I took a hammer to these, and it was actually kind of fun. But the truth of the matter is that brokenness isn't fun. Hurts, such as a broken pot. Yeah, I can, because of the way that I did this, I couldn't repair the six pots that were in there. There's not a chance. And many times, the brokenness that we experience, we ourselves can't be put back together. But I'm wondering, as you're sitting there thinking about things that are going on in your life, things that have happened previously that are just maybe still weighing heavy in your life, that if you might not need a representation of something that helps you process the brokenness. I have enough pieces here in this bowl for everyone. And we're going to take some time. If you would like to have a piece and just to think about for just a little bit, because then we're going to talk about what we do with our brokenness. If you want a piece, make your way up here to the front and grab one, hold on to it. If you want to help somebody else out so that they don't have to come forward and you want to grab a piece for them, that would be just fine. But I want everyone, if you are so willing, to have a broken piece of pottery this morning. Whenever you're ready, come on up. You can take a big one. You can take a small one. If somebody nearby you needs a piece, help them out. As you're holding your piece of pottery, what I encourage you to do is to think about things in your life that have just happened that no fault to you or to anyone in particular, but you just know that there's brokenness in your life. Maybe it's relationships that have been broken over the course of time, or maybe it's personal things that have happened to you. Maybe it's losses of sort, the passing of a loved one, the loss of financial stability, the loss of job, the loss of many numerous things. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a painful note that you got that just rocks your world. Maybe it's the brokenness that you feel because you're not nearby family. I don't know what brokenness that you might be feeling today, or might be that unkind word that somebody said to you, whatever it might be. Think about that brokenness. Maybe it's a diagnosis that happened or is going to happen or may happen, or you don't even know what may happen, but you feel it. And it's kind of rocked your world a little bit. We have those things too. Struggles of all kinds really hit in different ways. Paul experienced a variety of things. And if you want to think that Paul had this blessed life, that he's an apostle of God, of Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he is preaching the gospel throughout the world, yet in we know that he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was lowered through walls because people were attacking him. He had difficulty upon difficulty. Now, was it for the sake of the gospel? Absolutely, but he experienced brokenness, and you and I can experience brokenness as well. We have all kinds of brokenness in our lives. We have it in the past, and we will continue to experience brokenness in our future. But what do we do with our brokenness? How might the brokenness that we've experienced be added to our lives, to the clay, if you will, of our lives that God is molding in such a way that is helping us, preparing us for the fires of the kiln that is our lives, and shaping us to be exactly who he wants us to be? Interestingly, a potsherd is a broken piece of pottery much like this. And three things can be done with it. It can just sit idly by, and it can be a reminder of our brokenness, or it can be held onto, and the sharpness of the edges can be used against us and remind us of our pain, or it can be given over to God, the master potter, and it can be shattered and broken and ground up just right and turned to dust and be used in the clay of our lives. That is our life. And we can do one of those three things. We can let it be only a reminder. We can let it be pain, which if we squeeze this too tight, it'll be painful. It'll hurt. Might even cut you. But the quote that I read just a little bit ago, sure, this current situation is definitely adding more brokenness to our lives, but even this can be used for our good. Even the brokenness that has kind of hurt us this month, year, decade, lives, whatever it might be, can be used for good. So what we do is we surrender our brokenness. We surrender it. The broken pieces of our lives, the emotional toil that we carry, the weight of grief, the disappointments that we feel, life not being able to be lived the way that we want to, the hurt that we experience, the sadness of pain, the heartache that we feel, the fear that we experience. The list could continue. And the weight of those things is way too difficult for us to carry. God can only carry it for us. So I have two challenges and then an opportunity for you. First challenge is this. Seek God and surrender your brokenness. If we want to see God in our circumstances and to see his perspective in our lives, we have to seek him. We have to find him. We have to get into his word and know him, and we have to seek him out. And I guarantee you that we will find him. And we will trust him more willingly. But we also have to surrender, give up our brokenness, and let him work. Second is this, is know the difference between, or know the truth. Know the truth. There's a difference between news and truth. The news tells us what we're dealing with, but truth ultimately comes from God and helps us process what we are dealing with. News and truth aren't always the same, but truth is what factors God into the equation. Keep holding on to your pottery. Here's some truth about who God is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And it says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that in John 14:6. It says, I am forever faithful. Psalm 146:6 says, he is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains forever faithful. I am with you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Psalm 73:23. I am holding you, yet I am with you. You hold me by my right hand. I am your hiding place. Psalm 32, 7. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Maybe as you're processing and thinking about all of this, on this piece of pottery, you take a writing utensil, a pencil or a pen, and you write on it. You write on your pain and your brokenness. The hurt, the struggle, the difficulty, whatever it might be. Write it, you can write it as a prayer. You can write it as a list. You can, however it is that you want to do it, but it is your way of saying these things, this brokenness that I'm feeling, whatever it might be, I'm putting it on this. And then when the time is right, you no longer hold on to it anymore, and you surrender it to God. And maybe for a time and a season, it's put in a place that is a reminder to you. It's kind of like a spot that you can see for a while. And you remember that it's there. But this is the final step. And this is what I would encourage you to do. Is when the next time is right, whenever that may be, you take this piece of pottery and you take a hammer and you fully surrender it with the hammer. Gently, because you don't want to get something in your eye. Gently just pounding it, breaking it up, and turning it to dust. And then you can do with the dust that you want. Personally, if I was a potter, I would put it in the pottery. But I'm not. So I would probably put it in the wind and let it go. No longer a reminder in my life of the brokenness and the pain, because I have surrendered it over to God. Now, I know that's a process. But brokenness is a process. Getting through it is work. And I want to encourage you to do the hard work. There's part of us that wants to take the brokenness. We want to take these pieces and we want to accept them for what they are, and we want to hold on to them, and we want to we almost want to wear them as a badge of honor and say, look at me, I've experienced brokenness. Well, we know that because we've all experienced it. But what helps us get beyond it over time is by releasing it and letting God work through it. This is a part of us. Current situation, past brokenness, whatever it might be. But when we look at God's truth and we see who he is the great I am, the one who helps us in our lives, the one who guides us, the one who strengthens us, the one who encourages us, and the one who wants what is best for us. And many times what we see in life is the impossible. Don't we? We see impossible situations. We see impossible struggles, impossible difficulties. But when we have the I am God that is our life, we actually begin to see something else. We see the I am possible, or the I'm possible, with an apostrophe and a space. I'm possible. He is, God is our possibility of hope. God is our possibility of truth. God's response to our circumstances and our response is, that's impossible. But God's response is, I'm possible. God's response is, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. God's response is, I'm forever faithful. God's response is, I'm with you. I'm holding you. I'm your hiding place. And that's my hope for you in this process. Because I know that in our situations, in our circumstances, we are feeling the overwhelmed nature of all these things, and they can hold us back. But God doesn't want us to be held back by these things. He wants us to surrender them. So do what you will with your pottery, but I do encourage you to let it be a symbol of surrender in your life. Father, take these things that are our lives and shatter them just right, so that we might be made stronger. Grind the brokenness that we experience so that we will be able to withstand the fires as never before. Lord, I believe that you see things that we cannot, that I cannot, and that you have ultimate good in mind for our souls, for our lives, and for your glory. Help us, Lord. Take the brokenness that is us and use it for your good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a joy to be with you. And I know that today's message was a bit heavier, but I hope that through the power of God and his redeeming work in our lives, that he will work in mighty ways. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and close our time together with singing.